Live from Southern California, this is the Jim Rome Show.
I want to start with the BBN, the Big Blue Nation. It is official, BBN. You've got yourself a new head coach. So there's some really big news. Big news in the BBN today, and what a shocker. Big Blue Nation is big mad about the big news. What else is new? Hey, BBN, let me remind you right off the top before I give you my thoughts on your new head coach. Let me remind you right off the very top, this is exactly what you wanted. Check that. This is exactly what you demanded. Big Blue Nation, you insisted that Cal was not meeting the standard and that Cal had to go. And you got exactly what you wanted here. 10 seconds ago, BBN was like, anybody but Cal. Anybody but Cal. But as of right now, you're all anybody but Cal and Mark Pope. Way to go, BBN. Way to be out on your new head coach just as he's finishing signing his name on the line that is dotted. Now, here's the good news, BBN. At least somebody wanted that gig. You know, a.k.a. the best job in America that nobody seems to want. Well, except for Mark Pope. And here's the thing. Mark Pope is a damn good basketball coach. And a damn good dude. And an incredibly bright dude with an excellent reputation in coaching circles. And, lest you forget, he's one of you, BBN. So, I don't know, maybe consider giving this dude a chance. I know, crazy suggestion. But maybe it can't hurt to give this guy a chance. Especially since you have no choice whatsoever. You have no other options. Nobody else wanted that gig. So I'm confused as to exactly what you want your AD to do. What was Mitch Barnhart supposed to do? Yeah, I know. You're all in panic mode right now, trying to get him to somehow make that deal null and void. Trying to kill that deal. But once again, let me ask, for who? It's the same exact question that I asked when all of you were foaming at the mouth trying to chase Cal out of town. My point from the very beginning before Cal left was, all right, fine. It's not fine with me. I think the guy deserves another chance. But all right, fine. If not Cal, then who? And the same thing applies right now. If not Pope, then who, BBN? It's not like Mitch Barnhart was not out there hustling. He just got buzzered over and over and over again by the top candidates. Dan Hurley, somebody I had on the program yesterday. Of course they made a run at him. That'd be the first guy you should try to hire. And what happened when they tried? They heard this. They tried to make him the highest paid coach in college sports, period, reportedly. Not just college basketball, but college sports. And when they tried that, this is how he responded. All right. Dan's not going anywhere. How about Jay Wright? Hey, Jay, you got a couple of rings. You're great. Your energy's great. You're like the gold standard. Hey, Jay, you got to be refreshed. You got to be missing all that action. TV can't be doing it for you. What do you say, Jay? Jay, imagine what you could do here in Lexington. Imagine. Look at what you did at Villanova, and then imagine what you could do in Las Vegas. What do you think, Jay?
That's right. No.
Jay Wright's a no. No problem. That's why we keep an index card with at least five names on it at all times. Hey, Nate. Nate Oates. How you doing, brother? Mitch Barnhart here. Man, you did an amazing job in getting Bama to the Final Four. I got an offer. I got a proposition for you. If you think that you did that there, can you imagine what you can do here and what we would pay you to do it here? What do you think, Nate?
That's not a good call. No. You don't like that call.
Yeah,
like
but Nate. Not a very good call. Never mind, Nate. I know you're not leaving. All right, no problem. Scott Drew. Scotty, my man. You know we go way back. You know I've always been connected to you. We go all the way back to, I don't know, the pandemic. Anyway, Scott, I know you didn't want to go to Louisville, but we're freaking Kentucky. We're the BBN. There's nothing like us. Man, you live in Waco. Let me reiterate. Lexington, Waco. What do you say, Scott? The job is yours if you want it.
That's not a good call. No.
You see me working, BBN?
I don't like that call.
Chalk Donovan. How about the Munster kid? Good job, Alvy. I like the remix, the dance mix of the Munster Kids theme song. Anyway, Chalk Donovan, who I know the BBN wanted badly, also was a no, or Barnhart was not willing to wait to talk to him since he's still in NBA season. Either way, he ain't coming, Alvy.
That's not a good call. No. You don't like that call.
I don't like that call.
It's not that your AD didn't try. It's that nobody wanted the gig. Nobody wanted your job or your money or to follow Cal, BBN. And the way you ran Cal off probably has something to do with it, too. So naturally, your next move is to try to run the next guy off before he's even introduced. Even though, once again, he is one of you. This is not some outsider that you're not going to embrace. He's one of you. He won a national championship there as a player. He played for Rick Pitino. And again, can I reiterate? This is a really good basketball coach. He runs a modern, innovative offense. He's got a great reputation in the sport. He's always got that great energy. But you know his energy right now has got to be off the charts. Pope is a dude who is going to attack that job with an enthusiasm unknown to mankind. No, he does not have the ideal resume. I get that. But he does understand exactly what that job is, or as much as anybody can understand what that job is until they actually start doing that job. But he will attack it with everything he's got. You might as well embrace it, BBN, because at this point, what other choice do you really have? You have no other options. I get it. I get it. It's not what anybody expected. I also get this. You didn't run Cal off to get rejected by the Alabama coach and the Baylor coach and then have to settle for the BYU coach. Believe me, I get that. There's no way in hell Mitch Barnhart, when he didn't bring Cal back, thought to himself that he would end up with the head coach at BYU. I get that. I understand that. But maybe you should have thought of that before you ran the last guy out. Maybe you should have considered all that before you considered a divorce.
Considered a divorce.
Maybe you should have thought of all this before you chased Cal and his dog Paul and his dog Stroller out of Las Vegas. And again, BBN, I understand. I do. I know you expect more. I know you expect more than one tournament win over the past 4 years. I get that. It's just unfortunate that you ran a guy with one tournament win in the last 4 years for a guy with no tournament wins ever. So I understand why you're disappointed. It's true. Mark Pope has never won a single tournament game. Not only that, he's never won a conference championship, either regular season or conference tournament. He's never had a top 50 recruiting class. He does not check the boxes that you would expect your head coach hire to check. BBN, I get it. I understand that. I'm not even saying wrong or saying that you're wrong to feel disappointed. I'm not saying that. I'm just saying, well, what's your other option? And I'm confident in saying this. I know you're upset, but I really believe, I truly believe, I believe that you're getting a lot more in hiring Mark Pope. Thank you, Avi. You're getting a lot more in hiring this guy than you think you are. There's more to this guy than you think there is. You're getting a lot more than just the BYU coach and a slightly underwhelming resume. No, he's not the biggest name. No, that's not the flashiest hire. And this job can even swallow the best coaches. But let me say this for Pope. He's smart as hell. He's got a great offensive mind. He embraces all the craziness that is college basketball today and college sports that so many coaches are pushing back on. And again, he's one of you. He brought a natty home to Las Vegas. He's a Patino favorite. BBN, he is you. And he's all you got right now. So it's a good thing he's not some bum off the streets. It's a good thing he's a very good coach. And he does deserve a chance and some patience and some bleeping respect for real. And
for
did
real?
I mention, like, five guys said no already. I hate the phrase that it is what it is, but it is what it is. Barnhart did not bring Cal back. He took big swings. He punched out on every single one of them. This is your dude. Why don't you give him a chance, or at least let him give you a reason to bury him before you start throwing dirt on him, especially, again, since he's one of your own? BBN, you don't have to agree with me. In fact, I know most of you don't. Hit me up, 1-800-636-8686. And again, to me, the X factor is chalk Dracula, the monster kid. Was he a no? Were they not interested? Were they just unwilling to wait? And if they were unwilling to wait, why were they unwilling to wait? Were they going to lose that much time? Were they going to have to play that much catch up that getting that guy's not worth it? I mean, if you got that guy and you got that guy for multiple years, what's waiting a few more weeks? And was Mark Pope going to go anywhere if he had to wait a few more weeks?
You gotta be kidding me.
Or did the monster kid turn them down? It's kind of unclear. There are various reports, conflicting reports, as to whether or not they didn't want to wait on him or he had no interest. I don't know. But we do have firm reports that the others wanted nothing to do with it. This is what I mean. Be careful what you wish for. Now, maybe Cal had to go in order to get this kind of energy back. And maybe he wouldn't have been that energetic or that rejuvenated because, well, the fan base had turned on him already. And there seemed to be a disconnect between he and the AD. So when Cal shows up in Fayetteville, rocking the red, and he's got this great energy, it's like the old Cal is back. And frankly, maybe he had to leave in order to get reacquainted with the old Cal. I get that. But I did say, nobody likes I told you so, but I did say, if you run this guy, then who are you going to get to replace him? I think that with your entitlement, BBN, you just assumed, who? Whoever the hell we want. We're the BBN. Well, that's not how it played out, did it? Clones, what do we want when we're craving protein or we need more energy? Not bars, not sugary snacks, not energy drinks. No, we want beef. Pure and simple. So where's the beef? It's in a package of Old Trapper beef jerky. Old Trapper is not your father's jerky. Shriveled, dry, and tasteless. Old Trapper beef jerky is made from lean strips of steak and quality spices that are smoked over a real wood fire. So it's tender and it's tasty. It's not tough. And why is it so good? Because Old Trapper is a 50-year-old family business known for their relentless commitment to quality. They take smoked beef extremely seriously, and you can taste it in every single bite. Old Trapper is packed with protein, and it comes in four amazing flavors that satisfy all your cravings. Quality smoked meat at its finest that goes with you wherever you go, to the game, to the gym, to the beach. Look for Old Trapper in the Clearview bag. That way you can see the quality you're buying. Look for it in major retail stores near you. If you don't see it, ask for it by name, because no other jerky compares. Old Trapper, what's your beef? A member of the legendary Jungle Rex streak, Rex Hoggard. Rex, my dude, great to have you on, especially this week. How are things, Rex?
They're awesome. When are you going to come to the Masters? This is something you have to do.
No, you're right. You're right. I have no excuse. I really do. And as soon as I can set the thing up, it's... No excuse. I'm not going to even get into why I haven't yet, but you're right. I really have to.
It's such a special experience. I've got a bunch of folks in town from my family this year, and I'm seeing it through their eyes for the first time. And after 20 years, you can get a little jaded, a little dull. And seeing it through people's eyes for the first time is always sort of refreshing because you realize how special this place is.
No, you're right. You're right. I've just never figured out a way to drag the radio show and the TV show to the Masters and set the whole thing up. But you're right. I need to get that done. So let me ask you, you're always great at providing real-time analysis when you join us when a tournament's already underway. So I'm curious, Rex, what has stood out to you during this marathon day two after some players had to finish up their first round due to the rain yesterday. What are some of your thoughts?
Well, the first part of me is the agent of chaos. And so you look at the top of the leaderboard and you have DeChambeau kind of doing DeChambeau things. And it's been a while since at least we've seen him on the PGA Tour side, at the major championship side, doing that. And you have Scottie Scheffler doing Scottie Scheffler things. And again, the agent of chaos inside of me craves those two going head-to-head all the way into Sunday. It's just the idea, and look, it's a far more nuanced conversation than just PGA Tour golfer versus LIV golfer. We all know that. But the idea, at least across the general sporting public, that would be so entertaining because you have essentially one of the, probably the most polarizing figures who joins LIV Golf, among the most polarizing figures, and you have the guy on the PGA Tour side that one insider just called him the guy who wears the white hat for the PGA Tour, going head-to-head at this particular event, and they're both playing really good golf. I love that storyline.
I do, too. I think that's great. Now, you wrote a really interesting article, I thought, on DeChambeau, who shot 65 yesterday, and he's in a good spot right now. How has he evolved as a player and a person since he famously called Augusta National a par 67 in 2020?
He's walked that one back, which I think kind of says all you need to know. And look, there was a time when Bryson, when he first joined the PGA Tour, he was unapologetic. He wanted to change the world of golf. He wanted to change the way people played golf. He talked about one-length clubs, and we know about him packing on all the weight and just going to extremes to try to hit the ball farther and trying to become what he called a robot. And I think what happened is he just got older. He's 30 years old. I think it happens to all of us eventually where you start to realize tilting at windmills is probably not the best use of your energy. I think he's become much more understanding of people who have differing opinions and people who may roll their eyes a little bit when you hear him sort of talk his nonsense about how he's trying to make golf as much of a scientific formula as possible. I actually wanted to kind of quantify that. So I reached out to one of his LIV Golf teammates, Paul Casey, and I go, give me an example, because he agreed. He's much more mature. And I go, give me an example of how he's gotten better. And he went back to last year, and Bryson had called a team meeting, and he was being Max von Bryson. He was talking about wanting the team to hit their putts on the east-west axis of the golf ball instead of the northwest axis of the golf ball. And he was just met with a chorus of eye rolls. And I think the way Paul described it is they got it. He got it. He understood that, okay, I need to let these dudes do what they do best, which is play really, really good golf. And ever since then, Paul said he has just become a really good teammate and a really good leader.
Rex Hoggard is joining us. It's a great anecdote. Rex, what about Max Homa? So far, so good for Max. What's been working for him as he tries to win the first major of his career at age 33?
We were just talking about this on Live From, and I always want to footnote this because I have a huge amount of admiration for Max and his game and what he's been able to do in his career. He does everything really well that you have to do to play Augusta. He putts well. He's in the top third on the PGA Tour, and he hits his irons well. He's in the top third of the PGA Tour in strokes gained approach. That just has not translated into the Masters. I think his best finish here is a tie for 41st. He's missed two cuts, I think, out of his four starts. That hasn't translated to the majors. He has, I think it's one top 10. This is his 18th major start. I don't think he's got back-to-back rounds in the 60s in any of the majors he's played. And it's baffling to me because, again, I will point to what he does best. What the things he does best is what you need to do to play major championship golf well. And you also look at he has won big events. He's won the Wells Fargo. He's won the Genesis. He's been able to do things in golf that most players cannot do. So it's really baffling to me that he has found himself trying to sort of find that magical formula, and I think it would be so cool if it was this week.
It would. Rex, what about the cat, Tiger Woods, one of the players who was not able to finish the first round last night, meaning he's going to have to play 23 holes today, which is going to be a challenge, obviously, given the injuries that he's dealing with. After making a pair of bogeys in five holes to end his first round today, where do things currently stand for him in the second round, and how's he looking in terms of making the cut?
I think it's really unfortunate that this worked out. And look, it's a weather delay. It's an outside sport. These things happen. However, it's a worst-case scenario for him to have to come out this morning, and it was cool. It was in the 50s this morning. And with everything we know about his body, and it takes him forever to warm up, I think it was Brando Chambly on Live From was talking about by the time he finished up all of his post-round work last night in the dark and had to wake up this morning to try to get back on the horse and do it again, he probably got 3 hours of sleep because it takes a lot to get him moving. We know that it's just not duct tape, that he has to spend a lot of time getting his body up to speed. I would have loved an opportunity to see him do it properly, play 18 holes yesterday in the warmth, wake up this morning, come out and see what we got, because this is going to be a really, really tough test for him. I think from a golf standpoint, he's fine. We saw it yesterday. There was plenty of good things in that round of golf to give you reason to think not only can he make the cut, but he could probably have a solid week. It's the physical part. It's getting around this golf course in 72 holes and having to do 23 in one day. That's the stuff that's going to hurt him.
You know, Rex, hard to imagine. Rory McIlroy has not won a major since the 2014 PGA Championship. What's his outlook as he continues to look for a breakthrough performance to win the first Masters and complete that career Grand Slam?
We've talked about this kind of ad nauseum because the idea was, and I give him a monsoon of credit, he decided that doing the same thing over and over again, what we all know is insanity. So he wanted to mix it up this week coming into this major because it means the world to him. He understands this puts him in a very, very rare category of career Grand Slam winners. And so he played the week before. He was in San Antonio last week. He made a scouting trip up here to get all of his prep work last Monday and Tuesday at Augusta, get that out of the way. He didn't show up this week until Tuesday afternoon. I think he played one nine-hole practice round, didn't play the par three. Like all of the things that he has changed and switched up and tried to find the winning formula. Yesterday was a good start, actually. I know 71 compared to what Bryson did and some of the other players didn't look that great, but if you look at his record, he historically starts awful on this golf course for whatever reason. If you look at his best finish, it was a second place, I think, in 2018. He started the week 73-73. So if you could start with something in the red, something under par, I think it was going to be encouraging. But today is the litmus test.
Hey, Rex, really quickly, off topic. Anthony Kim has always been one of my favorite all-time athletes. How he was able to stay off the grid for more than a decade is miraculous. But come to find out, we now know he was dealing with some pretty heavy issues. Have you had a chance to connect with him, and what do you make of his attempted comeback?
I have not, and I would have loved to do it, and I can't wait for the doc to come out. They're doing a documentary on him, and last week he did a 30-minute sit-down with David Faraday a little bit. Because for you and I, people who've covered sports for a long time, been around the game, this is like Loch Ness crawling out of the lake. I mean, this was, you haven't been around for 12 years. It was such an amazing story. And I find it interesting that, you know, people, fans of a certain generation have no idea who he is, but he did such special things. I go back to that 2008 Ryder Cup. He was such a spark. He was so much energy. He's exactly what the game needed. And to just reemerge is amazing.
Rex, he was electric. That version of AK was electric. So I'm with you. In fact, I would text with him maybe once or twice a year, and it was always really short and be like, hey, Rome, great to hear from you. Hope the fam is good. You know, peace out. But he did tell me about a year ago that there was a documentary and it was going to deal with mental health issues and more. So I'm with you. I'm really curious to see what that looks like. Rex Hoggard is a Golf Channel insider. He's a senior writer for GolfChannel.com, also co-host of the Golf Channel podcast with Rex and Lav, and a member of the famous Rex Streak. Great job, Rex. Really appreciate you. Thanks so much.
Thank you, man. Really appreciate it.
So let me tell you about something. The other day, I come across a product that all of us should be carrying around. It's amazing. It's something different for fresh breath. It is an incredible product called Zelman's Minty Mouth. And guys, it is a game changer. If you're up in the grill of somebody else and you're making your case for whatever it is, make sure your breath is fresh. Zelman's cleans your breath in a way that other mints don't and can't, because it's not just a mint. It's a functional breath freshener capsule that you swallow. It's clinically tested against the toughest offenders, even garlic and onions. You just pop two or three in your mouth, suck the minty coating, then swallow the capsule for the confidence of fresh, clean breath that lasts for hours. The product is like nothing else you've ever tried. It fights bad breath in your mouth. It then goes right down to your gut. This is the ultimate hack to get rid of coffee, garlic, or smoker's breath. You're going to like having the confidence of long-lasting fresh breath, or you get your money back guaranteed. These folks will give you your money back. Not that you're going to want it, but they will. They've got free shipping if you order three packs or more, and trust me, you're going to want more. And nobody likes to pay for shipping. Go to Zelmans.com right now. That's Zelmins.com. Right now, you'll get 15% off when you use the promo code ROME. Zelmins.com. You do have to use the code ROME to get your 15% savings, ROME. I know you're tracking the Masters.
Yep.
Are you taking world number one Scottie Scheffler or the field or somebody else not named Scheffler? Are you a chalky little bitch, or are you going to take a big swing? Or knowing you, Head, are you going to do both those things? Hit me. What do you got?
Well, I can't blame anyone for being a chalky little bitch here right now and taking Scotty. Dude is probably playing the best golf since Prime Tiger. Right now, he is at plus 140. Again, don't blame anyone for taking him, but I'm not going to do it. I do not like that number. If I took him, I'd have to take him by himself, so I want to take a couple shots here. Shots being Cameron Young at plus 1,800. Not a great putter, which is a worry here at Augusta, but he was top 10 at last year's Masters, currently in contention. Two top five finishes in his last four starts, including a second at Valspar, and his iron play has been on point in 2024. Also, Joaquin Niemann, plus 2,800 right here. Dude is playing the best golf of his life and is the best golf of all livers this year. He won two of the first three live events this season, and his best finish at Masters was at the Masters last year was 16th. So, dude's on fire. We'll take that shot at plus 2,800. And let's take a big shot here, Jim. Taylor Moore, plus 8,000. He's moved up the leaderboard this morning. Co-runner-up at the Houston Open his last time out. His approach, the green numbers are solid. His putting will be key, but he is currently ranked better than a lot of the top guys on the leaderboard here, so we like that. So we're going to take three shots. Cameron Young, plus 1,800. Joaquin Niemann, plus 2,800. And Taylor Moore at plus 8,000. I should have hit it earlier today when it was at plus 18,000.
I like it. I like it. Three good choices. All right, so what about UFC 300? Top to bottom, is this one of the best cards you've ever seen? And what are you doing with it?
Yeah, UFC 300 may not have the name recognition of a silk bra at the top of the card, but elite, elite fighters here. 12 champion or former champions on this card altogether. It probably is the best card I've ever seen. I have two bets here. First one, a parlay. I'm going to go with Alex Pereira and Justin Gaethje to win and get some plus money at plus 186. Alex is fighting Jamahal Hill in the main event for the light heavyweight championship. Alex could easily be perceived as the best striker in the UFC, one of the best ever. Jamal's camp is insistent. He is the better striker. I'm not buying it, so I like that. The worry is maybe Hill will focus on grappling where Alex struggles at. But I'll take Pereira to win and couple that with our guy Justin here, who has taken on Max Holloway for the BMF belt. Violence is in play here. Incredible fight. No one has landed more punches in UFC history than Max has, and no one has delivered better fights than Justin Gaethje. This is sneaky, too. Max is a better boxer, and the dude is elite at striking, and don't be surprised if he gives Justin fits on their feet. Also, remember, Max has only lost to Volk and Dustin Poirier over the last 10 years, but I think Justin's power will be the difference here. Max is moving up in weight, and Justin is coming off an icing of Poirier. Maybe he has to use that wrestling a little bit, but I think them hands or feet will get through enough. So we're going to go Alex Pereira and Justin Gaethje at plus 186. Also, Charles Oliveira is the dog here in his fight, plus 185 against Armin Tsarukyan. I know I messed that one up too. Dick Tharter, my bad.
Stop, dude.
Okay. Okay, my bad. Armin, great fighter, good wrestler.
Man, I was just going to give you credit for how locked in you were, and then you went back into third grade mode.
I know. Damn it. Lock in here.
Winthrop.
Finish what you started.
Okay, Armin, great fighter, good wrestler, but he likes to bang. He likes to stand up, and he's a little wild at times, so let's go with DuBronx to win this fight. I'm tempted to hit it at plus 700 for the knockout, but I'm going to stay away from that. I'm going to go with the plus 185 for Charles Oliveira here.
All right, so let me ask you really quickly. You went with a parlay on the first one. What is the Gaethje fight by itself? What's the number by itself?
Oh, damn. I don't have it up right
now. Of course
not. He's probably a small favorite around that minus 200-ish, somewhere around there.
Uh-huh. You don't have that. You've got everything else that I don't want, but you don't have what I do want.
I could throw it. I got this app
Stay hot, head.
Beautifully for me.
Stay hot, head.
Uh-huh.
Stay hot. Is there any way you could run that all down really quickly without getting all caught up and tripping all over yourself and making fart jokes, or should I just keep moving right now?
No, I could do it. And Justin Gaethje, minus 162.
That's what I'm asking. Thank you very much. All right, run it back for me.
The Masters, Cameron Young, plus 1,800. Joaquin Niemann, plus 2,800. And our long shot, Taylor Moore at plus 8,000. UFC 300, Alex Pereira and Justin Gaethje at a plus 186 parlay. And Charles Oliveira as a plus 185 dog.
Do you think Oliveira is any kind of threat still at this point?
I do. Absolutely, I do. The only person he's lost to was against Islam, and this
that'll
is a tough
happen.
Fight. This is a yeah, that'll happen. He might be the greatest lightweight of all time with Habib, but you know what I'm worried about, and I haven't checked it right now, is weight. He's had a problem making weight, and I'm a little worried about him making weight again, but that's my biggest problem right now.
Well, what's the big deal about a weight cut? That's right? Not a problem. That's right? Not a problem ever.
Yeah.
All right, Head, nice job. Well, mostly nice job. 85% of that was really, really good. Have a great weekend. Let's get paid.
Thank you, Jim, and good luck, Alan, on the week that was. It's probably not going to be better than mine was.
Yeah.
That was yours. Dude, that was yours. I bet he can top that.
One of examples in football history of good quarterbacks.
Now, the big...
I apologize.
Yeah.
The bar is pretty low, Head. Beat it.
Thank you, Alan.
All right, there it is. See, if you can somehow cut through all his bullcrap, he has some really good insight and some really good information and a way to get down and a way to get some action and a way to get paid. If you can cut through all that bullcrap... And I know that's not easy either. Let's talk O'Reilly Auto Parts. They're in the business of keeping your car on the road. O'Reilly Auto Parts offer friendly, helpful service and the parts knowledge you need for all your maintenance and repairs. They've got thousands of parts and accessories in stock, either in-store or online, so you never have to worry if you're in a jam. The team at O'Reilly Auto Parts can test your battery for free in or out of your car. If it needs to be replaced, they'll help you find just the right battery for your vehicle. Need your windshield wipers replaced? A brake light fix or a quick service? They'll help you find the right part or point you to the nearest local repair shop for help. Whether you're a car aficionado or an auto novice, you will find the employees at O'Reilly Auto Parts are extremely knowledgeable, helpful, and best of all, they are friendly. The professional parts people at O'Reilly Auto Parts are your one-stop shop for all things auto, do-it-yourself, and you can find what you need in-store or online. Stop by O'Reilly Auto Parts today or visit us at OReillyAuto.com/Rome. Once again, OReillyAuto.com/Rome. Deion Dawkins. Deion, good to have you back. How are you?
I'm good, man. Pleasure to be back on here. Thank you for having me back out.
It's always good to have you back out. All right, so the deal is done. That had to feel great. What else have you been getting into of late? How is your offseason going?
Offseason is great, man. It's been a lot of work, man. I've been traveling and I've been, you know, working out wherever I've been at. Like, I've been doing a lot of walking, a lot of conditioning, and I've been playing a lot of cornhole. But, you know, just living the American dream.
I'll tell you what, dude, that does sound like the American dream. Cornhole, walking around, new contract. Yeah, I see you working. It's tough to get it all in when you're on the road and you're on vacation, but I know you will. Let me ask you this. The organization has had some tough decisions to make. Some of the guys that you were close to and have gone to battle with are no longer there. So what's it mean to you that the organization has made a commitment to you and you know you'll be there at least through the 2027 season?
Yeah, it's an honor. It just feels good to be wanted. It feels good to know that in this chess game that we're playing, that my chess piece is just a little bit more heavier than another piece that would be thought of with being moved. I'm thankful. Like, I'm thankful that Pegula, starting with them, and then Bean and McDermott and my O-line coach even respects me enough to keep me there, because, like, I get it. Like, this league, like, everybody wants younger players, like, that are better and cheaper. But they see value in myself, and I'd have been doing a good job of holding down my position. So I'm extremely, like, thankful that I could be in Buffalo for hopefully the remainder of my career.
You beat me to it. I was going to say, Deion, if it were up to you, and the extension's really nice, but if it were up to you, would you be a Buffalo Bill for life?
I ain't never leaving, man. I do not ever want to play for another team. I can never even see myself put on a different uniform. The Buffalo Bills has birthed me. They've nurtured me. They've grown me. They've taught me how to write. They taught me how to pee, and they taught me like how to just be a man. And I'll never turn at my back. And that's an organization I can live and die for.
Deion Dawkins joining us on the program. That's a lot of learning right there, my man. Let me ask you this. I mentioned a number of your teammates have left in recent weeks. What was your reaction when you heard that Stephon Diggs had been traded to the Texans?
Yeah, the Stephon Diggs one was it was definitely a haymaker of a blind haymaker. But, you know, I have learned that in this world, in this career that I'm in, that pieces shuffle and things move around all of the time. The last time that something like this happened was when I was in my earlier years, and it happened with LeSean and McCoy. And for a player that has that type of impact and popularity and stat-based weight for their career, you know, it just hits you in a different way. But like I said, I love my teammates, and I am loyal to my organization. So I trust them. I think that they know what they're doing. I know and that they know what they're doing. But we got 17. And when you got Josh, you know, like anything is possible, truly.
Deion Dawkins joining us. Deion, one more thought about that. Help me understand this, because I'm trying to understand this. Speaking of Diggs, what did you think of him hitting like to a post that said the Bills got the, quote, worst fan base, y'all bitter as F in the comments, end of quote. My question for you is, did the Mafia overreact to him hitting like on some rando with 33 followers, or do the fans have a right to be pissed?
I mean, I think the fans have an entitlement to whatever they choose. That's why they're fans. They have a choice. They have a side and that they pick. And, you know, every decision that we do in our lives as athletes, you know, people is always watching. There's going to be somebody that is going to frown about it. There's going to be people that's going to smile about it. There's going to be people that's going to question you. And all you can do is just do what you do in the direction that you want to do it, and be positive and confident in the direction and that you're doing it. So I'm for it. Like, the fans can be mad. They can be bitter. They can be sad. They can be happy. Like, everybody has their own choice of emotions to show. And if Diggs accidentally hit that like button, so be it. The fans, they're going to hate him. Then they're going to love him. Then they're going to hate him. And then they're going to love him. But at the end of every day, we need each other. The fans need us, and we need the fans. And I'm loyal to my and Mafia, so, you know, I like where I'm at.
I got you. Deion Dawkins joining us. Now, Deion, some keep it 100, and then some do what you did when you appeared on a podcast in February. And when you were asked about the Jets, you said, and I quote, "I hate them, all of them. I think they play the sports just to be cool. They're a bunch of dudes who just want to take pictures on Instagram. That's whack. I play this because I die by it." Dude, I just want to say for the record, it was one of the greatest takedowns ever. Full stop. It was amazing. Yeah. Now, I'm curious, though. Were you just answering a question, or do you hate those guys that much, and did you have to get that off your chest?
Nah, it's honestly, I don't hate them that much, but I do hate them that much. I think when it comes down to it, right, I like sports when it's a rivalry. The emotions are high. The intensity is high. When you're not friends on the football field, everybody's not rushing out to the game to shake somebody's hand or for everybody, like, man, it is a better environment for the league. It's a better selling point for business wise when the tensions are high, and they're in our conference, the Jets, the Patriots, the Dolphins, they're in our conference. So yes, I do not like the Jets the most. We play them twice a year. Yes, I do not like the Jets more than I don't like some other teams. Like, I play these guys, and these guys, they talk their talk, they run their mouth, and they do what they think. But it isn't everybody. It's not everybody on that team. But, you know, they're all guilty by association, man. Like, one bad apple can definitely rotten that bundle. So with that being that, like, I know if you're in the store and you're buying a bag of apples that are already in a bundle, and one of them has a rotten hole in it, you're going to push that whole bundle into the side. You're going to get the fresh batch. And that's how I look at it, and that's how I live. But I want that intensity to be up for every game, because that's why I play to be the best and to let my will be enforced on the Jets, the Dolphins, the Patriots immediately, because those are our immediate conference.
Deion Dawkins joining us. I can't argue with any of that. Now, you mentioned that you got to play them twice a year. Obviously, there's going to be some built-in dislike, if not hatred. Any concern that they'll be looking to retaliate or there'll be some form of payback once you see them again between the lines? Go ahead. Finish that thought. Who cares?
Who cares, man? I would hope so. But the good thing is that their intensity should be up, which ours will be too. And when it comes down to it, it's us against them. It's 11 on 11. So, you know, like, they got to see us just as well as we have to see them. And they're a good team. Like, I don't want to call them corny or another word, poopy. Like, they're a good team. They are a good football team, and so are we. So I think two good teams should not like each other.
Deion Dawkins, man, I would say that you're on one, but you're not on one, man. You're just being you, which is why I wanted to talk to you again. This is great. Hey, when you and I spoke in October, you said you were confident that the team would put its early season issues behind them, and you were right, dude. You won the AFC East once again. You didn't make it to the Super Bowl, though. How do you feel overall about that so-called championship window? Do you feel like it's starting to close?
You know, I think every year you can say that window is closing, but with the outcome of the seasons every year, like, you would think, like, oh, the Chiefs can't possibly win it again, or they can't, like, they've shown it. So people have probably told them that, oh, their winning window is over with. But that window is always open when you got guys like me, and you got guys like Josh, and you got guys like Shaquille and Ed, and when you got a team of guys that, you know, lead with good hearts, good athleticism, good football. And when we put that helmet and them pads on and that jersey and it says Bills, that window is always open. It's always open. Like, it could be a little bit more, but nah, it's open. And it'll always be open. And as long as Josh is that new quarterback, that's what I can talk for. McDermott is our coach, and the Pegulas is our owner, and Bean is our GM, that window is open forever.
My man, here's what I would say about you. As far as you're into this, and you're 7 years in, and you just got an extension, I think your best ball is still in front of you. However, on top of that, dude, I would say your best interviews and conversations are still in front of you. In that regard, dude, you're already a Hall of Famer.
Appreciate you.
You're
brother.
Already a goat, my man. That was so fun. That was awesome,
really,
Deion. I appreciate you, dude. I appreciate you very much.
I really do, man. And honestly, it just takes honesty. It just takes honesty, and it just takes the honest truth. Because we live in a world where people try to fake who they are, and this is just me. Like, I just speak with my heart, and I speak with love and passion. Like, I'm a football player. I was brought there to protect the 17th blind side. So what am I going to do? Point one is protect his blind side. That's my goal. So I appreciate those comments, and I appreciate you, brother.
And for that reason, he will always jump the line. Mike, my brother, what's going on?
Devil Wears Prada in the box. What is up, my brother?
What's up, dude? How you doing?
I'm doing well, man. God, long time no speak, man. I mean, yeah, I've just been keeping busy and doing all kinds of stuff and kind of change my hours so I don't get a chance to call in as much and stuff. But, man, I've been thinking about all kinds of cool reminiscing and stuff. So, by the way, Merry Juiceness to you. And let me tell you why. So the day after Christmas is my parents' wedding anniversary. So we party and party and party. So it's just like that. Merry Juiceness. I'm sorry, brother, got to say. But so the reason Devil Wears Prada in the box, man, do you remember your line of T-shirts that you had, like, I don't know, man, 30 years ago? I don't know. It's been a long time, but I happen to have one of the Orenthal shirts, and it's weird. It must have been the eclipse, but I found this shirt about a week ago, and then lo and behold, dude goes off and kicks it yesterday or day before, whatever it was, and here we are talking nonstop Juiceness. But this shirt is badass. It says Orenthal, and it's in the MasterCard logo, and in the back it says leather glove, $10. Household steak knife, $29. Italian leather shoes, $300. Committing a heinous act and getting over, priceless. And then it says there are some things that money OJ can't buy. For everything else, there's Orenthal.
Hey, guess who's back? Me. Guess who else is back? Albie! Welcome to the program. Big breaking news, which actually takes some of the shine off that game. Hog Hoops fan does not need to stare at the sun to experience something special and rare and frankly almost impossible to believe right now. John Calipari is now the head coach at Arkansas.
Yeah!
Win-win for everybody except those involved with, well, the entire Final Four weekend. Cal just took away a lot of their shine with that blockbuster. Pat Forty.
Yeah, it is a bombshell. Basically, he chickened out and took the chicken money, the Tyson chicken money, and left town. So a pretty big comeuppance for a guy who's the cockiest coach in college basketball.
Cal is E-Muss's replacement. Hate to bring myself into this. A bizarre jungle love triangle. You order such great band.
Go to the total. The difference is like peck on the cheek, I was told, correct, and a night of passion.
A night of passion.
Versus dropping a hammer. Listen, I know the next one's not going to be for another 2 decades, which is probably the next time these losers will kiss somebody. Pat Kelsey.
It's an honor, man, to be in the jungle. When I was at Winthrop in Charleston, some of the coolest moments of my professional career, man, and I mean it. You're a legend. I try not to sip out of the fire hose with a straw. I'm trying to eat the fire hose.
How are you living? What is that number right now? And how are you playing it?
I'm living great, Jim. I miss you. Not bad
fun
for the big stupid.
Well, leaving big stupid in control.
No, it was good to have the big stupid in the house.
Cow tipping illiterate. Wishes his forehead girth was on his shaft.
For the official start of Smack-Off season. Because everyone knows it ain't Smack-Off season. Till Rick in Buffalo says it's Smack-Off season.
It is a UConn coronation.
It's crazy. It's unprecedented. But it's not like Dan Hurley didn't warn y'all.
You better get us now. It's coming.
And for all of you hating on him, he's not done yet. Dan Hurley.
But if I was going anywhere, one thing I'd be doing right now was hiding. I wouldn't be doing your show.
Is there a number that could get your attention?
I'm going to be here going for a three-peat.
His behavior is kind of normal where I'm from. No,
by the way, not only is his behavior kind of normal where you're from, you kind of act like that around the office.
Thank you, Jim.
Matt Norlander, the morning after the natty, my man. How you feeling?
I'm feeling wonderful. You know me, man. I love this blessed tournament. Fired up and ready to go for you, buddy.
Counselor, you spelled wines W-I-N-E-S.
A few light posts torn down.
And
some outdoor
a student
seating
ripped a street sign out of the ground and threw it through a store window.
Throwing them through the air.
Be glad that that spinning street sign didn't go through somebody's heart.
Threw it. It went right through his heart and he died.
Torrey Craig! Chalk Senior, Munster Kid, whatever it is you're trying to do is not working if they're running 3-on-0 breaks and they can't finish. You and I will sleep when we're dead.
Exactly. You know what I always loved about you, when I see you on TV or I hear you on the radio, I can feel the passion through your voice, you know? If people can't show that passion on the sideline, why would you be good at anything?
A legendary Tom Izzo appearance.
It's tank top weather, and it's so beautiful up here. I'm about to get the moves out, Brian, get things going. If there's any ever a time for a sandstorm, Brian, it's right now, Brian. Oh, hell yes.
Smashed my knee off my table, man. That hurt. I'm so glad that I'm not on TV right now. Searing pain.
What is up? One of the greatest shows ever. And I still have the promo billboard from the FX Sports Show. I keep that in my house. I have it to this day.
We have just learned this morning that O.J. Simpson has died at the age of 76.
This is not what I expected today. I had a killer show planned. I just did not plan to do a show on a killer.
I just want to wish you and Jano Merry Juicemas.
Cleavers and steak knives underneath our Juicemas trees.
Time to die! Merry Juicemas.
Murder somebody before the battle, it's not really murder, it's cool. I know that to be true because I've murdered 2 people.
Run, Juice, run meant Juice run into the grave.
And instead of putting him in the ground, is there a way they can just dump him over a hill, like into a trash heap?
Rest in peace, Juice.
On the 12 days of Juice, Miss, my true glove gave to me. 12 dumbass jurors, 11 dancing Eto's, 10 counts in Vegas.
As time went on, it was easy to see. I'm better with my K-N-I-D-E. How's OJ doing? I hope really well. That's all Hunter with a new death story to tell.
I got beef with the bones in people's necks.
People die every day.
Committing a heinous act and getting over, priceless.
Larry Bird, Rick Carlisle, and Dick Tharter
taught me how to pit. Like how to pee, and they taught me like how to be a man.
I'm a man.
There goes the sun. Do 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 do.
Thanks for the vine, Jim.
G off.
Thanks, Romy. Talk to you soon. Go car. Dell's up.
Jim, always good to talk to you. Tell everybody I said hello. Love you, man.
JXP, this is for you.
Sorry, I didn't mention that little golf tournament.
Talk about that little golf tournament after.
I know you got a busy day, but it was good to hear your voice, man.
And another word, poopy.
Romy, man, appreciate you. You are the man. Been a big fan forever, man.
And a prostate that gave OJ's a disease that he couldn't beat.
Good night now! Good night now!